Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has been so good. He's been so good, and we are so blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you glory and honor and praise and blessing and thanksgiving. You are so good. And Father, you've been so good to us. We give you praise. We reverence you, Lord God. We reverence you in this place. We honor you in this place. We are so thankful, Lord God, for all that you are saying and doing, Lord God, in this school, through our apostle and through all the instructors, Father. Father, we've come to just say thank you, Lord God, for every student, Lord. Thank you for those here. Thank you for those who are online, Father God. Thank you for their homes, their families. Lord God, we set our hearts to yield. We set our hearts to surrender. We set our hearts, Lord God, to flow with you, with the Lord Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful. We're so thankful for all that you said already, for all that you're going to say tonight. And for all, Lord God, that you will do in our midst. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge you. We do invite you. We do welcome you. We want you to know that we need you to help us. And we believe that you will help us this night. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We have been looking at several scriptures regarding obedience. There is one that I want you to see. I don't think our author mentions this one. But you'll recall that in our discussion, we talked about obeying God the same way that you would your biological or natural father. Remember we talked about that and how your father, when he, I'm going to use the word disciplines you, he's doing it for your good.
Amen.
Remember that? Remember how we talked about that and that we want to obey God because everything that he's telling us, every command that he's given us, it's for our good.
Amen.
So turn to Hebrews 13. And this is just for you to have, for you to tuck away. And when we read, well, we'll read it first, and then I'll tell you. Hebrews chapter 13. Bibles, iPhones, iPads. Now I have an Android. Okay, so I got an Android. All right. Matter of fact, my son almost refused to allow me to get an iPhone. Almost. You know, I keep saying, I think I want to try it. He said, for what? You know, he's just a big Android believer. So, amen. But whatever it is that you're using, you can get it out. All right, Hebrews 13, we have it? Okay, let's look at verse 17, and we're going to read it together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Online students, we want you to read it also. Ready? Let's read. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Amen? Amen? You know, we are to obey them. Now, because we are under this apostolic anointing, then we must understand the apostolic government. And we know that you can find that over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, talking about the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And remember that, you know, these gifts were placed in the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, remember, maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, and this passage is telling us, obey them, you know, which have the rule over us. This is God's government. Obey them. He says, submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls. And this is very, very important, you know, all of our pastors, for they must give an account. You know, God is gonna be asking them, you know, what about my people? Did you teach my people? Did you help to mature my people? You know, so, you know, all fivefold ministry gifts, you know, must be diligent to make sure that this work is being done. You know, it's being done to God's glory. And, you know, he goes on to say that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you, amen, and me. So I just wanted y'all to see that since we were on this lesson of obedience and prayer. I always like to remind y'all that this is book 2, chapter 9. You know, for the benefit of any of our online students who may not have been here on last week, but that's where we are right now, obedience and prayer. I'm going to go over just a few things that we may have talked about on last week. The author says that if anyone complains that man under the fall is too weak and helpless to obey these high commands of God, remember? You know, we make excuses. You know, I can't obey God. I can't do this. I can't do that. The answer is, and remember we talked about the atonement. I remember you, telling you about that. Through the atonement of Christ, man is able to obey. The atonement is God's enabling act. God works in us through regeneration and the agency of the Holy Spirit. Get that? The agency of the Holy Spirit. That's how he works through us. The enabling grace sufficient for all that is required of us under the atonement. See, he didn't just leave us. He just didn't leave us. He provided everything that we need. The author said that this grace is furnished without measure in answer to prayer. And then I gave you that definition of atonement. The reconciliation of God and humankind through Christ Jesus, reparation for a wrong or an injury. So if you see that anywhere, then you'll know what atonement is. Amen. God commands, and he gives us a command, and he wants us to obey it. The author says, and at the same time that he gives us a command, God stands pledged to give us all the necessary strength of will and grace of soul to meet his demands. Amen. Turn to Philippians 2:13. You know, he'll tell you to do something. I want you to do this. But then he's going to give you everything you need in order to do it. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Everything you need. Philippians 2:13. Does anybody have an amplified Bible in here? There's a new, okay, good. All right, you got an amplified, all right. Let's read it in the King James, and then I'm going to ask my sister to read it in the amplified for you. Ready? Let's read. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, he's at work in us. He's given us the command. But then at the same time he gives us the command, he's working in us to give us everything that we need to carry out that command. Amen? Amplified. Yes, ma'am.
Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight.
Isn't that something? Creating. You heard that word, creating and energizing. He's doing all of that in you in order for you to be able to carry out what it is that he has asked you to do. Now, that is good news, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not on my own.
Yeah.
You know, it said that we're not sufficient of ourselves. Remember that? to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It all comes from Him. I can't do this on my own, not on my own. Arthur says that man has no excuse for disobedience. We have no excuse for disobedience. He says he is criticized for refusing or failing to secure necessary grace. That's what happens. I mean, you know, if you fail, it's because you refused or you failed to secure the necessary grace whereby you might serve the Lord with reverence and godly fear. It is the vital truth that through prayer, and this is very important, and faith, amen, prayer and faith, it takes both. You know, if you're going to pray, you're going to have to believe in your prayer. Believe while you're praying. Believe that God is hearing you. Believe that the answer is coming. But then you can't have faith unless you ask, unless you pray. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, you can have faith. You can have faith. But I mean, you know, your faith is what is going to make your prayer work. Amen. So you're going to need both of them. You're going to need your prayer and you're going to need your faith. It says, it is the vital truth that through prayer and faith, this is what our author says, man's nature is changed and he is made partaker of the divine nature. Now, we know that over in 1 Peter chapter 1. All reluctance to obey God is taken out of him at that point. Man receives power to obey God in every way and to yield full and glad allegiance. Amen, to God. He says, not only is rebellion of the natural man removed, but he also receives a heart, and we know that heart means our soul, that gladly obeys God. Now, this is very, very important. The author says, the unrenewed man cannot obey God. The unrenewed man cannot obey God. I had a little note. I say, sinner, sin. That's their nature. You know, I mean, so why are we so surprised, you know, when they sin? That's what sinners do. But, you know, we as believers, as Christians, you know, that is not who we are. No. We want to gladly obey God's command. Turn to Romans 12, and you know it, and 2. Our author is talking about the unrenewed man cannot obey God. Romans 12 and 2, and it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. See that word? Yeah. By the renewing, see that? Renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Yes. The unrenewed man cannot obey God. The author says, our absolute and perfect obedience is the state to which man, the man of prayer, is called. And then he cites 1 Timothy 2 and 8, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He says, this is the condition of obedient praying. Obedient praying. Obedience, when we are obedient, we can ask with boldness at the throne of grace. When we disobey, well, he'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But over in Hebrews 4 and 16, you know, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. So you can just make a note, Hebrews 4 and 16. The disobedient folk, the author says, on the contrast, they are timid in their approach and hesitant in their supplication. They are stopped by their wrongdoing. Amen. You know, we have a tendency when we, and I'm going to use the word miss the mark. When we miss the mark, we're not as bold to go before God, because we're constantly thinking about what we did, how we missed it. And then the enemy is constantly reminding us of what we did and how we missed it. So that's what happens. That's why you don't have that confidence, and that's why you don't have that boldness as a Christian. Now, unbelievers, I don't even know if they know. You know what I'm saying? If they may not even know that they're being disobedient. You know, they might not even recognize it. Yeah. They'll pray. You know, and people used to say, God does not hear a sinner's prayer. The only prayer that a sinner can pray is the prayer of salvation. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe something happened with them, you know, before, and maybe they don't even realize it. But I've seen some of them, you know, get some stuff, and they're like, make you wonder, huh? Make you wonder. But God is full of mercy. He is full of mercy. And, you know, and thank God, when we read the Bible, not all those people were Christians that Jesus healed. Amen. Amen. And, you know, and they cried out, help me. And he went on ahead and he helped. So we just thank him for his mercy, right? Thank God for his mercy. And we can go to the throne of grace and obtain that mercy. Obtain it. There you go. The obedient child comes into the presence of his father with confidence and boldness. Confidence and boldness, our author says. His very consciousness of obedience gives him courage and frees him from the dread born of disobedience. When you are obedient, then you're going to be able to go before the Father with confidence and with boldness. 1 John, you can make a note, 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hear us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen? We know. With confidence. That's what that talking about, confidence and boldness. To do God's will without hesitation. Oh, my God. Without hesitation. How many, I don't know. How many of you can join me? See, a lot of times we do hesitate. Amen? To do God's will without hesitation is the joy and the privilege of the successful praying man or woman. Amen. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, is found in Psalms 24, verses 4 and 5, can pray with confidence. But, I mean, just that hesitation there. I don't know why we hesitate. I don't know why I've hesitated. You know, I can only speak for myself. You know, I know, you know, this is what he's telling me. And they're like, okay. You know, I tell you, I'm one of those way back. I just want to keep Apostle, you know, in my view. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I'm way in the back, and I have to run, and I got to catch up with him. And I think for me, it's just, you know, sometimes I guess I have some doubt. I guess I haven't gotten my faith up to that level. But now, once my faith gets to that level, I'm gone. I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. But we have to build our faith. We have to build our faith to that level. And, you know, years ago, I can remember in a lesson, Apostle, you know, told us, first of all, you need to find out where your faith level is. Amen. You know, you got to find out where you are. What is it that you can believe God for, you know, without worrying about it, you know, without being fearful? And you start there. And he always told us to start with small things. You know, he always gave the example of believing for a parking space. You know, he would believe for a parking space. I mean, you know, that's how you develop your faith. You know, and if you pray for a parking space and you get to a crowded mall and all of a sudden somebody pull out and you pull in, that is going to help your faith. And then you'll say, well, if I can pray and believe for a parking space, then I can pray and believe for something else. Right. You know, if you can't pray and believe for a headache, right, you're not going to pray and believe for cancer. Right. You see what I'm saying? And this is what it takes. It takes starting. We have to act. Oh my, yeah. Apostle is telling us we have to exercise our faith. Yeah. We have to give our faith something to work with so that we can know what we got. Mm-hmm. You know, if you never have a challenge, mm-hmm. if you never ever have a challenge, how are you going to know if your faith is working? You know what I'm saying? Under the apostolic, apostle is training us to be able to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Amen. And not always run to apostle or your pastor or your prayer partner. Amen. You know, it's all that's good. I mean, I'm not going to go in a battle too far without letting apostle know. I might start off, but I'm not going to go too far without at least letting him know. But I will tell him, but I'm fighting. You know, I'm going to tell him I'm fighting. But he's training me. He's training me to know that I can have faith, that I can go to God, and that God is going to hear me, and God is going to answer me. Amen. And then, you know, the more I exercise my faith and see God work in my life, then I'll be able to share that with somebody else. Amen. And encourage them because, you know, somebody encouraged me. Somebody helped me, when I was there, you know. And so we want to be able to do that because in this day and in this time, people are going to need to hear from Christians who know and Christians who understand. And you students here and you students online, God is going to be able to tap you on the shoulder and tell you, give you an assignment. And you're going to know what to tell them.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to know exactly what to say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to give it to you. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You know, just whatever he tell you at that moment, that's what you tell him. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, believe it or not, Dr. Montrell said this last night. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that, there's that word, doeth. Remember? Doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The author says that the Christian trade is prayer. But he must learn well the trade of perfect obedience to the Father's will. You know, our trade is prayer, but we have to learn obedience. We got to learn it. Obedience follows love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Remember that word I gave you? Some words, keep, obey, do. And prayer follows obedience. Obedience follows love, and prayer follows obedience. The business of real obedience to God's commandments inseparably accompanies the business of real praying. You notice he always say things like real praying, true pastor. It's like, oh my. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. One who has been disobedient may pray. This is what our author says. He may pray. If you've been disobedient, you may pray. He may pray for pardoning mercy and the peace of his soul. He may come to God's feet with tears, confession, and a penitent heart. God will hear him and answer his prayer. This kind of praying, he says, does not belong to the child of God, but to the penitent sinner. Well, you know, me and Mr. Bounds don't always agree 100%. Yeah, we have to pray this too. I miss it. I get angry. I told y'all how I fuss at them people in the road. They say I have road rage. I really don't. I don't have road rage. I just wish people would just obey the rules of the road. Just obey the rules of the road, and I wouldn't have nothing to complain about. You know, but I miss it. I miss it. But I have 1 John 1:9. You know, that's what I use. I mean, maybe he's talking about the sinner, you know, praying for something else. I don't know what Mr. Bounds was meaning here. He says, but to the penitent sinner who has no other way to approach God, but not him who has been saved and reconciled to God. You know, yeah, we've been saved and we reconciled, and we got 1 John 1:9 when we missed it. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. An obedient life, now this is important. An obedient life, he says, helps prayer. It speeds prayer to the throne. Mm. God cannot help hearing the prayer of an obedient child. It acts like the flowing tides of many rivers. It gives volume, listen, volume and fullness of flow, as well as power to the prayer closet. Amen. Amen. Talking about obedience. An obedient life. He's talking about the whole life now. Helps prayer. An obedient life. Now, this was important. An obedient life is not simply a reformed life. It is not the old life primed and repainted. It is not a superficial church-going life or a flurry of activities. You know, people think that that's being obedient. You know, I'm being obedient. I go to church every Sunday. I don't go on Tuesday, but I go on Sunday. Neither is talking about obedient life now. You notice he's saying, he's not just saying obedience, he's saying obedient life. Neither is it an external confirmation to the dictates of public morality. Do's and don't. Don't do this, don't do that. You know, it's more than that. He says far more than all this is combined in a truly obedient, Christian, God-fearing life. Amen?
Amen.
A life of full obedience, he says, a life that is settled on the most intimate terms with God, offers no hindrance to the prayer closet when you're in full obedience. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're guilty of partial obedience. We're kind of like Saul. Yeah, you know, kill them all, kill them all, kill them all, kill them all, kill a king, kill everybody. And he come back and he says, well, you know, the people say, we're going to save the best sheep for the sacrifice. And I saved the king alive. For what purpose? I don't know. But then we saw, because we read it in this class. We read it. We read what happened to him. You know, he lost his kingship. You know, so partial obedience can be dangerous and can have some long-lasting consequences. So we're talking about, you know, a life of full obedience. Where the will is in full conformity to God's will and the outward life shows the fruit of righteousness. And, you know, he gives this example like Aaron and Hur. Now, they were, the children of Israel were in this battle. And every time Moses would hold his hand up, I don't know if y'all will recall that, they would win, you know. And Moses had to keep his hand up for the whole battle. Oh, my God. But then his arms got weak. And when the arms started to come down, well, they were losing. And so Aaron and Hur held him up, one on each side, and they were able to successfully win that battle because he had some men who were willing to hold up his arms. And so, you know, Mr. Bounds is saying here, where the will is in full conformity to God's will and the outward life shows the fruit of righteousness. That's what they did, the fruit of righteousness, like Aaron and Ur. Such a life lifts up and sustains the hands, and he says of prayer, but I'm going to say even of a ministry, amen, of a pastor, of an apostle. You know, you're praying. You know, you're helping to lift their arms up when you're praying for them. And is it this class that we talked about the importance of praying for your pastor? I don't know. Might have been last year. I don't know. But it's important. It's important to pray for your pastor, your bishop, whoever is over you. Because number one, they're watching out for, not only are they just watching out for your souls, but there's an enemy that is trying to block them and trying to stop them. And you never ever pray your will. Don't pray your will. You know, I want to always pray for them in the spirit, and you want to pray that God's will be done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you have, now he gives us some points. I got some stars by these little things. He says, if you have an earnest desire to pray well, you must learn how to obey well. Amen. If you want to pray well, obey well. He says, if you have a desire to learn to pray, then you must have an earnest desire to learn how, there's that word, to do God's will or obey God's will. If you desire, well, God's will. Amen. God's will. Some people say, I don't know the will of God. Yes, you know. You know. You can know. You can know. Yeah, first, your first place is to go to the Bible. And then the second place is to go ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him. Amen. And he'll reveal it to you. If you desire to pray to God, our author says, you must first have a consuming desire to obey him. Obey him. You know, we never put obedience with prayer, you know, before this class. You know, you think pray. But if you're not going to obey, what he's telling you in prayer. Because remember, I started off by telling you that when you're praying, I have a good example for y'all too. But when you're praying, then God is going to answer you. Yeah. Amen. He's going to tell you something. And sometimes he's going to give you some instructions. Mm-hmm. You know, don't think, I always tell students, target your prayer. You know, don't just say, I'm praying. What you're praying about. How you going to know whether or not you got an answer? You know, if you didn't set your target, you know, this is what I'm praying about. And then God will give you an answer. If you want to have free access to God in prayer, then every obstacle in the nature of sin or disobedience must be removed, our author says. Must be removed. Obedient men have always been closest to God. Ooh. Obedient men have always been closest to God. Obedience to God counts tremendously in the realm of prayer. Amen. To plead for a faith that tolerates sinning is to cut the ground out from under the feet of effectual praying. Amen. Luke 6:46, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you're not going to obey me, why you keep calling me Lord? Amen. If I'm your Lord, then obey me. Amen. He who prays must obey. Prayer puts in those who sincerely pray a spirit of obedience. Amen. You know, people who pray, there is a spirit of obedience that comes upon them. Amen. So if you've got some hard-headed, goatish, is that a word, goatish people? Button head. They probably not spend a lot of time in prayer. They probably not. Amen. The spirit of disobedience is not of God and does not belong to God's praying people. The absence of an obedient life makes prayer an empty performance. Oh, my God. The absence of an obedient life makes prayer an empty performance. God's royal intercessors, say that's me.
That's me.
Amen. God's royal intercessors, you know, he calls us over in 1 Peter 2:9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Remember that? Amen. God's royal intercessors come before him with royal lives. Holy living promotes holy praying. God's intercessors are symbols of righteous obedient lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Mr. Bounds, he is something here. He really focuses on obedience. I think we did something once on living a consecrated life. I know the obedient life, holy. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, the holy life. So that's the lesson on prayer and obedience from our author. I always like to share with you, especially, I mean, in all of your classes, students here on Darrow campus as well as our online students, You're not just taking these classes just to pass a test. Okay, that's not the purpose of it. Your lives should be changing by now. Amen. We are, what, 5 weeks in? 5 weeks in, 5 weeks of classes, 5 weeks of sitting and listening to Apostle and all of the other instructors, 5 weeks of prayer. Something should be changing as far as your prayer life is concerned. Second-year students, you know, well, y'all know. Second-year students, y'all should be praying. Y'all should be praying. I always like to touch on the Holy Spirit. I usually share with the students how important the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, and the importance of you knowing that you can help someone else, amen, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to just bring them to church. You know, you get them saved and right where they are, they can be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And what you want to do, you want to share with them why it's important. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of the scriptures, but you want to have, you know, a few scriptures under your belt. Acts 1 and 8, for example, that's always a good one. And then I have some benefits here, and these are not all of them, because the apostle is constantly giving us benefits of praying and benefits of praying in the spirit. And every time I hear one, you know, I try to jot it down and bring it, because like I told you, anytime he says anything about prayer, my ear perks up. And it's like, oh, man, I got to make sure I share this with the students. Remember in the beginning of class, I said that our apostle stated, prayer is our powerful weapon of warfare to declare we have won. You understand? Not I'm hoping to win, but that we have won. And I quoted, we shared Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I told you how Apostle gave the revelation of that is, it's already done. Amen? So that's how we can declare that we won, because it's already done. Amen? It's already done, so we've already won. And so, I mean, just that other part of it was that prayer is a powerful weapon. And when we're talking about prayer, you know, a lot of times, yeah, praying in the understanding is good, but you're going to run out praying in just your understanding. But praying in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Ghost, and right now he's given us, Apostle has given us nuggets. Every now and then, you know, he's telling us about how important it is to pray in the Spirit. We all know, and I think we've, in this class, I think I gave you Jude 20, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. Remember? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So, you know, when you're witnessing to an individual to try to help them to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this is what you want to show them. You know, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then you want to also go to, let me get that first, because I have so many of these. 1 Corinthians, I have a note here, 1 Corinthians 14. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, remember, speaketh not unto men, because, you know, a person who hasn't, I guess, been around and understand, you know, they say, oh, well, that can't be of God, you know, all that. And so you take them to the Bible and you show them what the Bible says. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but he speaks directly to God. For no man understandeth him. But the Bible says, howbeit in the spirit He speaketh mysteries. You see that? He speaketh mysteries. And then you go down to the 14th verse. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's why I couldn't find it. And you go down to the 14th verse, and he says, for if Paul writes that, he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, see that? Mm-hmm. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, these are just some. I have a new list. I have a new list that Apostle gave us of the benefits. I'll give you some of the benefits first. Praying in tongues opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. Oh, my God, he talked about that recently. Ooh, he's talking about that Sunday. Charging the atmosphere. Praying in tongues opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. Praying in tongues opens the heavens and create atmosphere for the release of Shekinah glory. I was listening to the MP3 of the service, and the apostle was talking about power and glory. And he told us, glory is greater than power. Wow. Amen. Praying in tongues opens the heavens and create atmosphere for the release of Shekinah glory. Praying in tongues magnify God. The bigger God gets, the smaller the devil will be.
Right.
Praying in tongues magnify God. The bigger God gets, the smaller the devil will be. Praying in tongues enlarges your perception of God's power in your life. Amen. Amen. Something happens when you're praying in the spirit. It's just all, you know, like it says here, you know, God gets bigger and the problem gets smaller. So that when you finish, you're like, oh man, we got this. You know, it's not as bad as it looked in the beginning. Before I prayed, it's not that bad. When you pray in tongues, it activates angels. Isn't that something? Praying in tongues is the entrance into the supernatural. It is the gateway into the realm of the spirit. The gateway into the realm of the spirit, or the spirit realm. Praying in tongues, am I going too fast? Y'all got, okay. Praying in tongues is the key that unlocks the spirit world. Praying in tongues is the key that unlocks the spirit world. When you pray in tongues, you're automatically in the spirit. You see? Automatically in the spirit. You are entering God's miracle zone. Oh my. You're entering God's miracle zone when you pray in the spirit. Praying in tongues is the key that unlocks the spirit world. When you pray in tongues, you're automatically in the spirit. You're entering God's miracles. Oh, my. That is so good. Huh? Amen.
Amen.
Praying in tongues is a direct line to God. Okay, now this is a good point. I'll give you my example right there. Right there. It's a direct line to God. Years ago, I don't want to quote a minister's name because it might be the wrong minister, but I heard a minister was talking about praying in other tongues, and he says when we're praying in other tongues, he says the Holy Spirit takes your prayer and he wraps it up and carries it like a football player to heaven. Amen. And what he's doing, he's protecting your prayers from the enemy, to keep the enemy, or stop the enemy from hindering your prayers from going to heaven. Then when he takes your prayers to heaven, that angels hide it again, and they bring the answer back to you. Amen. And it's like, oh, all this is praying in the spirit. You see, now I can show you that, because remember over in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed, and you know the prayers were being hindered, and then when the angel came, he said, from the first day you prayed, amen. From the first day, we heard you, amen. He said, but then they had some, you know, I had to fight. took him 21 days. 21 days. But then he came to Daniel with the answer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So your answers are being protected and given back to you when you pray in the spirit. And can you see that? And you see, and this is what this author was saying. It's a direct line to God. It's protected. It's protected from you, so you can't mess it up. It's protected from the enemy, so he can't stop it. He can't block it when you pray in the spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. I thought that was good. You know, I said, yeah. I don't believe I shared it with you the way I got it, though. I mean, I got it. It was like, oh, man, yeah. You know, I was so excited. But then when I get here to try to tell you, I said, Lord, it just didn't go over like I got it, you know. But the Holy Spirit is going to give it to you. And when he gives it to you, he's going to give it to you the way he wants you to have it. And then you're going to be as excited as I was when I remembered it. Amen? And we're still talking about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is speaking divine mysteries. Oh, my. Here we go again. Divine coded secrets. Mysteries, divine coded secrets. Not only is it a direct line to God, you know, just think about that, the Holy Spirit, you know, bringing it like you're carrying a football. Amen. To heaven. Well, now we already in heaven, huh? Yeah, we already in heaven. So, I mean, just bringing it before God. Let's just say you bring it before God. Bring it before the throne. Yeah, we already in heaven. So, amen. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues will impart blessings and impact your life. You're prophesying. Now I remember hearing an apostle say this. Prophesying your God-ordained future when you pray in the spirit. You are making a path of blessing and power for you to walk in and enjoy. Praying in tongues is praying things concealed to be revealed. Concealed from you, for you. Can you see that? From you, for you, so that you can't mess it up. And then let's see. Benefits of praying in other tongues. Well, you know about edifying yourself, because we looked at that. And we read 1 Corinthians 14:4. When you pray in the spirit, you're praying God's perfect will. And we talked about where it's a direct line, so we're praying directly to God and not to men. And then we have another one here. When you pray in the spirit or in unknown tongues, you exalt and glorify God. You remember over in the book of Acts, when they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they heard it, everybody started hearing them speaking their own tongues, and they said, these people drunk. And they said, no, they're not drunk as you suppose, you know. But they said they heard them magnifying God. Amen. They were magnifying God, and even though for them it was in other tongues, but these other people heard them speaking in their own tongue. Amen. When you pray in tongues, you receive spiritual rest. Oh, and I could have given y'all some scriptures, but Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 for that one. I had Acts 10, 44 through 46. You exalt and glorify God when you pray in the spirit. And then we've looked at 1 Corinthians 14 already in 2 and 14 and 4 and Jude 20. Amen. In order to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the person must be born again. So what you want to do, first of all, make sure that they're born again, that they're saved. You can do the salvation prayer with them first. And then they can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You must believe that this gift belongs to you.
Amen.
Okay, you got to show them it's a gift, and God wants you to have it. You have to desire the gift. You have to ask for it in prayer. Look at Luke 11, not right now, 9 through 13 in your leisure. And then the Holy Spirit will give you the gift of speaking in other tongues, but you have to open your mouth and speak.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
That's the end of class. I'm on zero. All right, that's it. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
I'll see y'all next week. Yeah, that's good. I thought that was good. Oh, he blessed me so when I heard that the first time. It's